Back in on Canuck Central. I'm not sure what this music is. I don't know. I'm kind of not vibing with it right now, Arash.
It's kind of a noir thing I'm doing.
It's very house music.
We got some cases to solve by Friday.
The little sax in the background, whatever that is. It's given a vibe of sorts. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. We're in the Kid Tech studio as Canuck Central continues. Deadline week is upon us. Let's bring in our next guest, 32 Thoughts, the podcast. And Hockey Night in Canada, it's Kyle Bukauskas. Thanks for this, Kyle. How are you?
I'm good, gents. How are we doing? That music was very Oscars after party vibes.
That's very true. It's very true. It's very good.
Not that I would know anything about that, but I just, in my imagination...
Yeah,
I can picture it.
I can picture you as being a guy that ends up at an Oscars after party. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, no! I'm the best thing I guess about attending the Oscars is that out in your way there, 4 o'clock local start. so then your night's done earlier. That would excite me the most about being around anything like that. Anyway, I know we're not here to talk about that, but no, it's good to chat with you guys.
I'm just saying it would be great to see you on, like, E-Talk or, like, hey, look, there's Kyle Bukauskas at the Oscars after party with his AeroPress making some nice espressos for everybody.
That's right. A little pick-me-up. We got through the awards part of the night and a little jolt as we head into the next part. That would be my only contribution to anything like that. Otherwise, I... serve zero purpose in that crowd, I can assure you.
I'm glad I'm not the only one spreading the good word of how espresso can keep your day going well. Yes. Kyle Bukauskas joining us. So let's focus on the Canucks here to start. And obviously it's not going well here, Kyle, for Vancouver right now. Coming out of the break, they've been not good, to put it lightly. And now you've got an interesting week starting to play out here where you got Besser and his unsolved contract situation. The Pettersson thing's not going away. Quinn Hughes has now got a new ailment to add to whatever he was dealing with prior to the Four Nations. It's just everything is working against Vancouver right now. How do you think they handle this week?
Well, it's I was thinking back, it's funny, like the three games I have seen the Canucks live in person this year were the two against Toronto, which may have been two of their better performances all year. You can certainly make the case that those were two of Elias Pettersson's best game of the year. And then when they were here in Ottawa in November and they won that night as well. So it's, you know, based on that, you're going, yeah, surely they've had a much better year than this, but it's not been the case. It's just, like, where do you even begin here with what's to come this week? I mean, I know it's a lighter week in terms of games. They just got the two there at home Wednesday and Friday, so much more time devoted to what happens in terms of, you know, between now and the trade deadline and how Alvin and Rutherford and everybody handles things. Man, it's been a lot there, you know? I know I don't have to tell you guys that. I just think it, the fact that they're through all of this and still right in the race, like part of me kind of feels I'm sure ownership would love the idea of still finding a way to get into the playoffs and, you know, the revenue opportunities that would generate. And so I wonder, you know, you mentioned the Brock Besser equation. Even if you're not in a position this week where you're going to be able to come together on an agreement for a new contract, you still keep him as part of your group moving forward because you believe you're a better team with him and whatever the return might potentially fetch you if you were to move on from him before Friday at noon your time. But, you know, that's obviously the big one to watch. I mean, I can't see anything of real consequence happening with Pettersson over the next few days here at this juncture. I just look at, you know, you've got a captain there in Quinn Hughes who, yeah, now is dealing with, you know, another injury here this year. But, man, he's seems like he has devoted like everything he possibly can into getting something out of this year. I'm sure there's a lot going on, you know, behind the scenes that we're not even aware of, but we all see, you know, how brilliant he's been on the ice when he's been healthy enough to contribute. I feel for him. I feel for the guys there that have battled their rear ends off to try to make something of this year. But it's tough because especially I was there at that Toronto game, as I say, like in your town right before the Four Nations break. And that was what? That was a 6-1 kind of end of their schedule before the 2 weeks off there. And you thought, okay, they're on a good trajectory here to have a much better finish to the year. And then, you know, we'll see come the springtime. And the way it's kind of unraveled a little bit since, it's been really difficult to put a finger on it because there's been so much revolving the organization really all season. So, in terms of this week, I guess, you know, the Besser thing would be the biggest one for me here, guys. And you know, just the conversations I imagine internally were, okay, you know, do we really think we can get into the playoffs here? Can we be a team that wins enough down the stretch to grab one of those last couple spots or likely just the last spot? Mm-hmm. I think there could be a path there, but it's a lot of heaviness right now.
There certainly is, right? And I think, you know, a lot of it comes down to where Elias Pettersson's game has fallen, how far it has fallen. And, you know, we've been all struggling to kind of find one-for-one comparisons of this happening to a player of his age, 25, 26, just kind of losing it the way he has for the year. And I think he'll find it again. The question is, will he find it in Vancouver or elsewhere in the future? But can you think of a similar situation of a star player at that age just kind of losing it the way he has?
Yeah, great question. Off the top of my head, Sad, like I really can't. Like it's one thing when, yeah, you see the players that are a little bit older and
like Huberto was 29, you know, right? Like at least he was 29 when he started struggling in Calgary.
Right. That's what I mean. Like when you get into that, okay, now they're 27, 28 and their opportunity to hit the home run deal as a UFA and then things just don't pan out the way you would like it to. But you say for, you know, a guy in his mid twenties, like I wonder, you know, we've all seen kind of, he's a guy that very much likes to march to the beat of his own drum. And I mean, everyone deals with criticism in their own, you know, different way. I wonder once you finally get through this season, whatever it ends up looking like, if you assume he can have a proper summer to take some time away and get his mind right and to come back in the best shape possible, like does that a bit of a fresh start there now? Maybe that presents an opportunity to turn things around. The issue is there's just like, you know, everyone's on notice now with what's going to happen. Regardless of how much longer this does end up going, the relationship between, you know, the player and the team and the city, because it's been, yeah, I imagine it's been kind of a frightening sight for many in a lot of ways, and I get it. It's just been really difficult to see, because as I say, like two of the games I've seen of him in person this year, the ones against Toronto, I thought he was fantastic, one of the best players on the ice, but it just hasn't been that way, you know, obviously consistently enough this year. So I'm certainly not, you know, no position to enjoy or ever want to pile on somebody, because, you know, it's been just a tough year for him. But I wonder if that's kind of organizationally a conversation they have of, all right, do we allow for, a one off season kind of reset and maybe we get the player back that we thought we were committing this much money to and this many years to, and go from there. But you know, of course, we've got to get to that point yet before we know for sure.
I remember eons ago, Alex Ovechkin, it must have been in his mid-20s at the point. He had like a 30-goal season. And everybody was like, what the heck's going on with Ovi? Is he broken?
Yeah.
He didn't score 50 this year, but he still had like 32 or 33 goals. And it was just like,
well,
wow,
thing,
what a down
right?
year
yeah.
for Ovi. But this is like right. just completely different for Pettersson.
Right, right, exactly. And that's why the alarm bells have been going off.
Matthews a couple of years ago, Kyle, where he kind of had that down year after he had his first 60-goal season. He still scored 40 in 74, and people were like, wow, how come Matthews isn't scoring as much this year? It's like, well,
right.
He still had 40. Yeah,
exactly. So you still had that to look at, and it was, you know, there was some injury issues that he was battling through too that,
yeah.
Limited him also. Like, that was a factor too. And even though, like, the goals weren't falling at the same rate, like, at no point were you going, like, oh my gosh, this guy's completely lost his way as a player. Like, that wasn't the case at all. It's just the shooting percentage and the scoring rate just wasn't at the same level. But yeah, it's tough to be at the 60 goal pace year after year, as we've seen over the history of this league.
So, looking around the league and team you're close to, the Ottawa Senators, what do you see as their plan this week? Obviously, right there on the fringes of the playoff race in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, so off to a tough start tonight down in Washington. But, I think I have every right to believe they want to address scoring, which is not a surprise because it's one area that's kind of hampered them this season. They're not a team that scores very often. Look, they don't have a ton of cap space, but, you know, I think Steve Staios, the general manager, like he's open to getting, you know, creative and finding ways to work around that. I think of, like he's someone who has been, well, let's face it, like, you know, moments before game 7 of the Stanley Cup final, he made the deal for Linus Allmark. So, he's got the ability to be bold when he believes in something. I do believe they're looking at something. What that is exactly, I'm not sure, but they're looking at something, you know, a little bigger in terms of, you know, bringing in somebody that could be some kind of impact offensively to help supplement what they have there already. But, it would be a tough one to navigate again because they don't have a ton of room to work with. Like, the big thing here in Ottawa, you know, like for the first time really in this Kachuk-Shabbat era, they've got a legitimate chance here of getting in. I think the team, you know, by and large has earned the opportunity to get some help here now before 3 p.m. Eastern, and management is well aware of that, and so they're really trying to make something happen here to have that all come together. I don't know if they're looking at a situation where they're mortgaging the whole future just for some short-term help to get them into the playoffs, but they do recognize the significance of the situation they're in right now. The other thing too, that, you know, quietly you've got to keep in the back of the mind for them, like, there's still that first round penalty from the whole Evgeny Dadonov fiasco from the previous regime, right? So as it stands right now, either this season or next season, they've got to forfeit their own first round pick. So I think there's a hope. I think, you know, internally there's still one more conversation potentially to be had between Michael Andlauer and Gary Bettman of, like, you know, okay, let's look at this here again. Would you consider maybe easing off on this a little bit? It was a different ownership. It was a different general manager then. I wasn't in charge when all of this went down. Why should I be punished for it all? We'll see where that goes. But, you know, as they look at which assets that they will potentially may have to be willing to part with to get the people or somebody that they want, that's going to be in the back of their minds here too. But I think, you know, scoring for sure is the priority for them. I know Tyler Cleven, the defenseman, is out for a little bit here after an injury sustained in the Winnipeg game last week. But I still believe, you know, a forward that can help supplement their scoring is what Steve Staios is looking at.
Well, it's interesting too, because fans here in Vancouver are really wondering what the future of Josh Norris is, because he's friends with Quinn Hughes and the Canucks are looking for an impact center, and his future in Ottawa had been murky heading into this season. Questions about whether he would be there long term. He's had a solid year. He just came back from injury as well. You've seen him play. Like, what do you think of Josh Norris? And ultimately, do you think he's a guy that Ottawa will hold on to? Maybe obviously through the deadline, but also long term.
Yeah, I think, I mean, certainly, I mean, they've committed to them long term. Again, I know that was, you know, a previous regime that had done that. But, you know, still 5 more years after this one that he's going to be under contract. So I look at him when he's healthy, Seth, like, he's a heck of a player. I mean, is he a bona fide number one C across every franchise in the league? Maybe not, but I think a real effective top six player. You know, the only issue again is just the fact that there's the injury history, right? And the repeated injuries to his shoulder that, you know, I think has certainly made fans here in Ottawa nervous over the years. And I imagine if anyone was to pick up the phone and make a phone call about, you know, his availability, that would be on the back of their minds too. But, you know, I think really become a reliable centerman that's got the ability to score again when he's in the lineup. Every night. I mean, when he was a couple years ago, he was right on pace for 40 goals and just wasn't able to suit up for enough games that season to be able to get to that number. But, you know, really was an effective shooter. And the other thing, too, now under Travis Green this year, he's brought in, you know, the ability to be a penalty killer. That's something that Green kind of earmarked for him there early on in the year, and between him and Shane Pinto and some of the other guys, like they're quite effective in that area too. So I mean, that of course ups your value as a player with being able to have that as part of your repertoire as well. So yeah, I know there's obviously the link there between him and Quinn Hughes. Like they're really, really close friends. Of course, as you guys know, you know, roommates back during their University of Michigan days. So I understand the connection. I just wonder, like, I think that there would be a situation where I don't see, you know, Steve Staples looking at any reason to move him, looking for an opportunity to trade him in any regard, because certainly right now, like I know it wasn't just him, but when he was out of the lineup the last little while, it was a much different dynamic here to this team. But, you know, if the conversation is about the ability to bring in somebody that he thinks can enhance things, then maybe that's a different conversation. But until that happens, I can't see Ottawa looking for a reason to move him.
So is Florida the team to beat now in the East, feels like, again?
Oh, Well, certainly BX to think so. Hey, that was funny over the weekend. Said, so, yeah, are we going back down to Florida for the Cup Final again? I think that, like, much more than the West this year, the East has felt so wide open, really, since things have gotten going. So for them to add Seth Jones into the equation and you know, no one really thinks that they're done, right? With now Kachuk's money being put into LTI, like I just wonder what the next move is for Bill Zito. You know, they've certainly put themselves in a position to remind everybody that the Stanley Cup still runs through the state of Florida. And speaking of, you know, the whole state of Florida, I'm wondering what, you know, Julien Brisebois and the Lightning are looking to do here. They have been, you know, an incredible team offensively all year. You know, a number of guys have just had really dynamite seasons. You know, Vasilevskiy's looking more and more like his old self here again. So that's a dangerous thing for everybody. They're in a really nice run right now. And, you know, as Elliot mentioned on the podcast, like, you know, you wonder if they're looking for more scoring here as well, which is crazy to say, because I think, you know, only Washington is averaging more per game right now than Tampa has all year. But, you know, they're another one to look out for. And, you know, we'll see what the Caps here when the chips are down. It's been such an incredible year for them all the way to this point. All those off-season signings that, you know, have really turned up to be just upper deck home runs for them, and everyone seems to be slotted in really good positions here for Spencer Carberry to get the most out of his group. So they're going to be one to watch too. But, you know, I mean, it's tough to right now look beyond the defending champions as, you know, the ones that have the pedigree of doing it here recently and seem to be, you know, loading up to find the depth that they had lost after winning it all last June and trying to run it back here again. So, it would not be a stretch to suggest it runs through them once again here at this juncture, fellas.
Well, yeah, you bring up Washington because, you know, they should probably be in the conversation a bit more. But the biggest thing we talk about with them is Alex Ovechkin's quest to break Wayne Gretzky's record. He's 10 away from tying it, 11 from breaking the record, and he has 22 games in which he can do it in. Do you think he gets it this year?
Yeah, I think he will. I do. Like, I just think there's something about the way it's not only, I mean, you know, he's there's the empty net goals for sure, but he's still finding his opportunities to rip it in the net. Like, he hasn't lost the knack for that yet. And I just see the way, you know, the whole group is energized by it. Like, I don't think this is a thing where, you know, it's a distraction and everyone's so focused on this. And, well, how is it going to affect them when they get into the playoffs? And have they kind of lost their the focus when it was so much on, you know, getting the record and trying to get things back on track after all of that either happens or not? Like, I don't see that happening at all. Like, it's just all been, you know, really good energy for this whole team all the way through. So yeah, at this point, I certainly am not going to be the one to bet against them. So I'll say yes. I do think he is going to do it. And then, you know, if he does end up getting it, like, that'll of course be just such an incredible moment for the entire league. And of course the team, to say nothing of Ovechkin himself. And I think they're just going to continue to ride it. I think there's just been, you know, just a lot of good feelings and good mojo with that group there. As I say, like, you know, you make a bunch of signings in the off season and you know, hope you have a vision of everything kind of fitting the way you would like. And by and large for them, you know, all those guys that they brought in have really, really fit. So, you know, from that point onwards, it's just been one of those years where things have clicked for that team. And there's no reason to think that they won't continue to do so as he is in pursuit of 894 and then 895.
Before we let you go, Kyle, I keep getting these emails from Golf Vancouver Island that I got to check out Campbell River Golf Club. Like, is this a must do over the summer? What are we talking about here in Campbell River?
Okay, so CRGC is a good course. Don't get me wrong. The hidden gem back home is Story Creek Golf Club.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to be nestled in nature and just a really beautiful experience of golf, that's the spot you want to go to. And I'm not slagging the other one. I don't need any flack next time I go home. I don't need to be denied boarding the flight home next time I get a chance to go back there. But Story Creek, Dan. That's where you want to go.
All right. Maybe it'll be on the to-do list this summer. The pride of Campbell River. It's Kyle Bukauskas joining us here on Canuck Central. Thanks for this, Kyle.
All right. Thanks, Wade. Thanks for having me.
There's Kyle Bukauskas, 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada, joining us here on Canucks Central. Ovi, not getting it done tonight, though, Sat. The Caps are up 3-0 on the Senators. Tom Wilson, Pierre-Luc Dubois, Connor McMichael on the score sheet. No sign of Alex Ovechkin, though. Not yet.
I mean, it reaches like, game's over. Are you rooting against
Ovechkin? I am not rooting against Ovechkin. Why would you say that I am? I've been talking about this longer than anybody, I think.
Have you?
yeah, I think I have. Years.
But now it's like, now when he's getting close, like, all these empty nets.
is Pierre-Luc Dubois, he's got 3 points tonight. Is he not like the reason you keep Elias Pettersson? Like, are you not watching Pierre-Luc Dubois this year and be like, now this is exactly why you don't want to give up on Elias Pettersson? Because talented players like this, they don't just like wither away in their mid-20s.
Well, I mean,
or is it just a situation where you get to a point where if it's going to happen for Elias Pettersson, it just may not be here in Vancouver?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I've said, like I maintain this and I will maintain this. I think Pettersson is going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to be in Vancouver, though, because I just don't know what the team is going to do with him. I think all options are on the table. But I think you have to be really careful in these situations.
Yeah.
And especially when you make a trade, ensure you're getting something that allows you to go out and get that star player, because cap space alone isn't what it used to be.
No.
It's good. It's positive.
With the cap going up too, it's not.
No, exactly. Like, it was so much more valuable a couple of years ago. Now, not as much, because, you know, the cap is going up and fewer players get to free agency anyways.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about building your team through free agency, how likely is it you're going to find the right guy who's going to be 28, 27, 29, or 30 even? So yeah, it's not easy to just get the cap space and go out and get that guy. It's what you get in return for Pettersson that matters the most. Yeah. And can you at least flip those assets if you get them to go and get that star player elsewhere? At the end of the day, the Canucks have to find a star. If they trade Pettersson, they have to find a star one way or another.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not against it. I'm down to trade him as long as you can find that star player one way or another. And if you think the cap space in and of itself is going to solve your problems, it really isn't. Yeah, you can go and sign a bunch of players. You're going to sign some second liners and you're going to be a pretty mid-hockey team.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the Canucks are really stuck in a tough position. They made a big commitment to Pettersson. He hasn't lived up to it. And now they're in a spot where they may have to make an impossible decision. Roll the dice to keep him and see if he figures it out, or trade him and hope that whatever magic beans you get turns out to grow tall enough for you to climb it.
Yeah, it is a bag of magic beans right now. And look, it might be one player. Of course, Rantanen and Marner are both expected to be free agents as of today. But as we've seen in the past, generally those guys don't make it to free agency. So we'll see how this ends up playing out. And on top of that, even if you have the cap space and you're the Vancouver Canucks, it's really hard to land the number one free agent on the board. Denny's True North Taste awaits with Denny's 100% Canadian beef burgers made with new shredded iceberg lettuce on a brioche bun and all the classic ingredients you love. Denny's. Don Taylor joins us next on Canuck Central.
Discussing the biggest stories that matter to Vancouver sports fans. Halford and Brough in the morning. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is going on with the music today on Canuck Central? This this feels like at my high school, Holy Cross, in beautiful Woodbridge, Ontario.
Yeah.
They would play like just before your opening class started, so homeroom class. They would play this song to like assume you were over the PA to like get you to rush to class.
You guys complained about the music. Nobody tells DJ Request what to play. And now you're getting cultured. You okay. Get Mozart.
Fair enough.
And Mozart, because it's so old, is royalty free. Mm. So there
smart,
you go.
Smart play from Arash. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, Canuck Central in the Kintech studio. It's a Monday, so we bring in our Monday regular here on the show. It's Don Taylor, Donnie and Dolly, 10 to noon on Check TV. Thanks for this, Donnie. Canucks continuing to struggle their way through this post Four Nations break, and I don't know. It feels like a tale as old as time. The Canucks should be sellers at the deadline, but we're not quite sure that they're going to be that.
Where the hell did you go to school? Like, honest to God, where was that? Ontario?
Yeah, it was Holy Cross.
Everything, yeah. Right there.
Yeah, really
I found out there's a Holy Cross in the Lower Mainland here too. Shouts.
Well, yeah, that's where my wife graduated, Holy Cross in Surrey. Absolutely.
Yeah, so
yeah,
it's not quite my alma mater, but close enough.
I bet you they play better music.
I guarantee that, yeah, for sure.
Where were we? What was the subject du jour?
Canucks heading into a trade deadline and the discussion being whether or not they're buyers or sellers. It's a tale as old as time.
Yeah, and I said last week that maybe they stand pat, but... what should they do? I mean, they cannot lose Besser for nothing. I think that's the way to go. But I honestly, and we got indications that they're, you know, and Elliot talked about this on the weekend, that there's indications that they're going to go after forward, having bolstered their blue line somewhat, over the past few weeks. But I don't know. The problem is that last year is so fresh in everybody's memory. What the hell happened? But, I think the smart move would be just, to try to get something for somebody like a Soucy or a Besser. Otherwise, they go for nothing. You imagine that, and then miss the playoffs. It'd be just awful. I see you unload them if you can.
Yeah, and I think what we would all be surprised to see is if they sell all their UFAs, like Suter, Forbert, and Brock Besser. But, them actually doing that, I think seems unlikely, but I do think a lot of fans would be excited if they took that type of posture ahead of the deadline.
Well, something's got to happen. You can't lose, let's say, Besser for nothing. So something has to happen. It's either you trade Besser or you get something. You trade him, get something for him, or you sign him. If they can you imagine the uproar if they keep him and they don't make the playoffs and they lose him? It would just be absolutely horrible. So, I mean, unless they get some sort of assurance, some sort of indication that, yeah, we're going to keep you and we expect you to sign, there's just no way they can let that happen. No way.
Yeah, and it's tough because Brock is kind of going through it right now too. So, yeah. He's not having the greatest of times. It's really since the turn of the calendar, and I guess like a lot of Canucks, right? Like everybody's in a slump right now offensively, and there's just there's not a lot to get excited about with this team at the moment, Donnie. You know, you do the old the beer league locker room test, and everybody's just like, oh, what's going on with this team? Trade everybody. Trade Petey. I don't care what they get back. It's just everybody's really kind of out right now on what they've seen from this team and everything that's gone on this year.
Well, it's just so stunning because, like I said, because last year is so fresh in everybody's memory and, you know, they bolstered their lineup in a really effective way last year. And, you know, they come within a win of making it to the Western Conference Final. It's so fresh in everybody's memory. So who are the real Canucks? I gotta think is what we're seeing right now, just because that's more the norm, and a lot of the characters that were there last year, Miller, Zadorov, Lindholm, they've moved on. I have to think that what we're seeing right now is the real Canucks. So a different approach is needed. I just don't know if these guys are patient enough.
Yeah, and I think that patience. I do think they're impatient themselves. I think Rutherford has spoken about that too, that they are impatient. They want to have a good team as quick as possible. But I can't help but think part of the reason why they want to expedite this to some extent and find that top six player, impact player by the deadline if they can, is all to be able to present Quinn Hughes with a plan to be good. And the fact that if you're trying to keep Quinn Hughes, you have to pretty much figure it out before he heads into the final year of his contract. So that means you have this deadline, the offseason, and next deadline. Like, it's essentially these three moments that you can improve your team significantly, and if you miss that window, you know, Quinn's gone.
I can't imagine what he's thinking right now. He's as stunned as anybody given, you know, what happened last year in a positive way, what happened this year. But you're bang on. Like, what is he thinking, and how much of what he's thinking do the Canucks have to think about in order to move forward? Because they lose him, oh my gosh. Imagine talk about an uproar, just absolutely horrible. What is he thinking right now with all this losing? There just seems to be such a bleak future. With all due respect to, you know, Lecker, Mackey, and Wielander, and anybody else who's a young person in the organization, Elias Pettersson. What is Quinn Hughes thinking right now? The injury issues, not being able to play in the Four Nations. I know that's not necessarily something the Canucks could do much about, but. Man, I just can't imagine what he's thinking right now. And, you know, you know where his brothers play. They're not, I would say, a much more positive situation. It's just really, really frightening to think of them losing that guy. And I think that every move they make has to be with him in mind.
Yeah, and I kind of feel for him right now. I mean, he's doing what captains do, trying to play through an injury to help his team out. And, you know, I think we saw it against Anaheim certainly last Thursday where, you know, the game turns on them and they're down a goal. And there's Quinn, who's been the biggest offensive driver for this team, trying to play hero puck and do it all on his own. And I can't really blame him because he's just doesn't have any wingmen right now to help him out as he's trying to get things done on this team. And then it results in a new injury after the game on Saturday, we find out. So, like, the guy is doing everything he possibly can, and you're just like begging for some teammates, and certainly Elias Pettersson, maybe more than anybody, to just can you pick it up a little bit, help this guy out while we're trying to get into this playoff spot?
Well, I think the most frustrating part for everybody watching this team, especially Rick Tocchet, the head coach, for gosh sakes, shoot the puck. I mean, I don't know how many times on Saturday, especially Pettersson, you see something there, you see a crack, and that's today's National Hockey League. You never have a lot of time. You've got to take shots. And when you do take shots, please hit the net, that sort of thing. It's just so frustrating. The possible solution seems fairly simple, fairly basic. Shoot the puck, hit the net. He's been talking about that all season long, along with getting Pettersson and others, but mostly Pettersson, to move his feet. And that's really frustrating because it seems like the answer is right in front of them, and they're just not doing it. I just can't imagine how Tocchet feels. And let's not forget, guys, we talk about Quinn Hughes leaving. What about Tocchet?
Yeah.
Why isn't there an extension there? Has there been an offer? Does he want to go somewhere else? You know, Boston has an interim head coach. Chicago has an interim head coach. Would they be interested in hiring Rick Tocchet? He'll get a job somewhere if he leaves. What's going on behind the scenes? It's just a really, really frightening time. And that's saying something in Canuck history.
Yeah, it's the uncertainty, right? It's the fear of what's going to happen next. And if Quinn is gone, it creates a lot of issues and problems. And you're kind of, because right now I see a lot of fans saying, bring on the rebuild. We're tired of this. We're sick of this. And hey, I'm with you. Sometimes you have to make the tough decision, but I think there has to be an acknowledgement that if you go down that path and you trade Quinn, you can kiss the next 5 years goodbye and the better part of the decade getting better. And maybe that is the right thing to do. But I think in the frustration and anger, is that truly an undertaking fans are ready to take on, especially after everything that's happened? I get people saying that, but I'm not sure they realize how hard it is to go through a full rebuild.
Yeah, well, and then you wonder, does Jim Rutherford want to go through that?
No chance. Yeah.
No, I mean, he was around when Mozart put that piece up. I think he was playing for the Red Wings at the time. So I go on and on about a rebuild. The reality is, it's going to hurt business short term, but is long term, does it not mean a better chance at a Stanley Cup? I'm not sure. People want rebuilds. They talk about it. Here's the thing, though. Are they going to buck up for it? Are they going to buck up to see a team, hit rock bottom and, try maybe to do the right thing? But how much pain does it mean? Does it mean Buffalo? Does it mean 10, 15, 20 years? Are you able to do a rebuild that could be fairly impressive fairly quickly? I like what I saw from Anaheim last. I didn't realize they had 26, 27 wins. I like that. But even then, how close are they? But then again, how close are they now?
Yeah.
It's just really, really, really frustrating. And I will lean on something that I just haven't seen. And that's something, even if it's a Trevor Linden small R rebuild, just something we haven't seen before, because this is 50 plus years and maybe it's time to do something different. The problem is, I'm not sure the characters in charge of this team are really willing to do that.
I'm curious, the 7 of the next 8 games are on home ice. Yeah. If things don't go well, I can't imagine the crowd reaction. We've already seen the Boo Birds and heard the Boo Birds out at Rogers Arena this year for good reason. But if this next little stretch doesn't go well on home ice, I'm curious to see just how much more the fans turn on this team.
Well, the number one way, the most effective way for them to get the message across to ownership, to management, is not to show up, is not to buy tickets. And people can laugh and say the Canucks are invincible, that will never happen. But I just ripped into Rutherford for being old, but I saw it in the 80s. I saw it in the Messier era. Maybe things are a little bit different now. The team seems to be more popular than ever, and maybe can survive some losing. But, history has shown that, even when the team, in the 80s, they went to a Stanley Cup final in 82 and didn't do much after that. And the people of this town, the people of Vancouver and Canuck Nation, turned on them somewhat and didn't show up. And the same thing happened in the Messier era. Could that happen again? The opposite of love isn't hate, guys. It's indifference, and you can feel a little bit of that, creeping in right now.
Yeah, and especially with the season ticket prices going up next year as well, and we've heard how fans feel about that. You're kind of beholden to put together a really good product. You can't be charging the prices the Canucks are charging next year and be a team that's going to be floundering. And, I think oftentimes we talk about how the crowd the fans on social media are different because they're not always the same crowd that ends up in the games, and especially the corporate crowd. But when you have to pay as much money as fans have to now, even for people that have money in the economic state that we're in, it's going to create more unrest if you're not a good team next season.
Yeah, and what are the two things you can sell? the two things you can sell are winning. I mean, this is, you know, for most people, are winning and hope. There's an entertainment factor, but, you know, there's only so many, you know, Tim Hortons cups that you can guess where the donut, the mini donut is, you know, on the scoreboard to keep people entertained. That was a very weak example, by the way. Maybe they should play Mozart. I'm not really sure. But you can sell winning and you can sell hope. I don't see a lot of either right now. It's a really, again, I'll use the word frightening, a time in this franchise's history. They're not winning, and there doesn't seem to be much hope right now. And look, I go back with this team. I want to see them win. I know some people call us negative, call me negative, but that's just the reality right now. Like, you tell me how much hope is there right now? How much winning is being done? The answer is not much on both counts.
Good news is the Whitecaps are off to a 2-0 start. We needed some positivity injected into this conversation here, Donnie.
absolutely. Playing really exciting soccer as well. And I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I've got kids, and for the first time, kids in their late teens, early 20s, and they're interested in this team. And look, does that mean they're going to take over from the Canucks? I don't think so. But it's really sort of out of nowhere. I just thought Vanny left. You can't get rid of Vanny. But so far, so good this season, and it's really been entertaining. There's some, there seems to be a lot of buzz around the team right now. It's good to see. We need something that people can grab onto right now.
Donnie, you're the best. Thanks for this today.
Anytime, guys.
There he is, Don Taylor, Donnie and Dolly, Check TV, from 10 to noon Monday through Friday. And joins us here on Canuck Central every single Monday. Shouts to the Whitecaps for giving us an injection of positivity in Vancouver sports.
poor Sam Adekube.
Yeah, poor Sam Adekube, but a nice late winner for the Caps yesterday over the defending MLS Cup champs, the LA Galaxy. Not to bring it back into the black hole that is the Vancouver Canucks right now. I just, for whatever reason, I just decided, like, hey, who's the Canucks' second leading scorer since January 1st?
I know who it is.
You know who it is?
Yeah, I know who it is.
Okay, then I'm going to test the producers first. Since January 1st, Quinn Hughes, obviously the number one scorer on the Canucks with 18 points. Who do you think is number two, Josh?
Is it the draft, Tyler Myers?
It is. It is most definitely the draft.
Yeah, I told Josh before that it was. Yeah, I guess he stole it.
Yeah, we did this on the post game show. Bick.
Oh, did you?
Up, man. So I was like,
God, great minds think alike.
Like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah. You look at the point totals. It's like, yeah, Pugh Suter's and
so it's Quinn Hughes, right, with 18 points.
Yeah,
Tyler Myers 13. Besser.
Yeah,
and then JT Miller.
JT Miller. Yeah.
Good thing he's still on the team.
Yeah.
Breaking news, guys.
He's no longer here.
It is kind of funny seeing Rangers fans fall in love with JT Miller all over again.
He's got another point tonight.
Yeah, does he?
Yeah, yeah, he gets
points. He's above a point a game.
Well, I love it because, like, Rangers fans love him, and then Canucks fans and people that don't like JT will look at the mistakes and be like, he's still a liability. It's like,
yeah, he was a dash two. So what? He had 4 points. Like,
that's JT experience. He's going to make mistakes, but he's going to give you some, a real offensive production and bottom line.
But it is kind of funny. It's just like, and somehow it always gets retweeted into my timeline, some kind of JT Miller thought from a Rangers fan.
Did you already touch on JT Miller having more shots than Elias
Pettersson? points? No, I haven't mentioned that one, Arash. Is that the case?
Yeah, well, he has, what, now 13 points, Josh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, JT Miller has 13 points since the trade. Elias Pettersson has 7 shots since the trade.
And I love how...
that's not great.
I love how Canucks fans on social media are like gluttons for punishment. They're looking for this stuff and be like, this is really hard for me to share with you, but look at this. Look how bad Pettersson is.
I went and did some searching and I hate myself.
Yeah. It's like, why are we even doing this?
Let me inject some more pain into my life, some more sadness into my life. So I mentioned it earlier, the hypothetical trade for Elias Pettersson that was seen at ESPN today from a friend of the show. And, well, I guess there was a couple of their hockey writers and pundits that collabed on this. And they, given it's trade deadline week, they said, deals we want to see before Friday is the title of the piece. And there's Mikko Rantanen to the Winnipeg Jets for Nick Ehlers and Rasmus Kupari to Carolina, which would be a lot of fun. Brock Nelson to Minnesota is another one. And then there's this one. Sat. To the Utah Hockey Club, Elias Pettersson and Carson Soucy. Coming back to Vancouver would be Barrett Hayton, Matthias Michelli, Sean Durzi, Michael Hrabal, goaltender prospect, and a 2026 second-round pick that belongs to the Ottawa Senators. Grade the trade.
People texting in, I'll take it. People just want Pettersson moved, so yes. They'll take whatever. It's like, I don't care what you give. Magic beans, give me that. It doesn't matter. So the best piece in that offer is Sean Durzi, which, I mean, he'd be a useful player for you. He's a really good defenseman.
Yeah.
But like, he becomes a bit of excess. So like, the best thing you do with him is probably flip him to try to find a forward that you want.
Yeah. Cause, he's got a new contract kicking in. So
yeah, but expensive. Yeah. But Michelli's struggled. Barrett Hayton is very much a third line center, occupying money that you have to pay to. So I don't love the forwards in it. I like Sean Durzi.
Yeah.
But like, you know, Bick made a great point. He's like, you're just giving me more work to do. It's like, make this move and then make another move. Now you got to flip Durzi to go and find somebody else. And hey, listen, if you have to do things, you got to do things. But it's not enticing.
It's like not even close to like what Winnipeg got for Pierre-Luc Dubois from the LA Kings.
At least you got Vilardi, right?
Right. You got Vilardi. You got Kupari. You got a couple of things there. You got
just
pieces.
A bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, here's our trash for your... And look, Pettersson hasn't been good.
Yeah.
But for your guy that could be amazing.
I'm still of the mind, like, I'd rather bet on Pettersson returning to form or something close to form than take this box of stuff.
Yeah,
this loot bag. It's the Family Guy thing. Here's a mystery. Yeah, here's a mystery box.
And I think people are so frustrated they would do that. They're like, you know what? Forget it, because Barrett Hayton and Michelli only have a year left, and they're going to be RFA. They're 24 years old, but neither guy is really going to be a difference-making forward. Like, well, to me, it's just pieces you have to flip again, and maybe that's what you have to do, right? But you're not finding solutions in this trade. It's just giving you assets to go out and do other things, potentially, and I'm just not sure what Barrett Hayton's value is anyways.
This is why the mystery box thing doesn't really... It's actually not even the mystery box, because I know what all these pieces are. None of them are going to be all that great. Like, there's no upside, really, in any of these guys.
We do have one person working on the show who would immediately accept this
trade.
Oh,
no. Rash.
Really?
Really? Is that how out you are on Pettersson?
It's like an immediate yes.
This is not the first time Elias Pettersson in his career with the Vancouver Canucks has done this, where he's ghosted and he's fallen off the face of the map.
And, now, and he did bounce back for a 100-point season.
That's great.
After
Joe
Chuno
had a 100-point season. Dennis Pearson had 100-point
season. And then what
happened
after? Another 89-point season?
That's great. Go
Don't you besmirch Joe Chuno.
I'm not besmirching
anyone. Joe Chuno was a great player.
Dennis Pearson also had injuries that derailed his career.
Claude Giroux. Love Claude Giroux. He's my guy, right? Reached the apex. He's better than Sidney Crosby, Peter Laviolette. My point is, you have Barrett Hayton. He's coming in. He's third liner now. He's putting up decent, defensive metrics, decent amount of points. Michael Hrabal, goaltending prospect. Matthias Michelli. If Drance was here, Drance would absolutely lose it. He'd absolutely be for it. Sean Durzi, a top four of Quinn Hughes, Philip Hronek, Marcus Pettersson, Sean Durzi for at least the next 2 years, and then extended to four. You get a second round pick out of it. And we're talking about like flipping stuff. After Four Nations, everyone in the hockey world now has seen how distressed this asset has become. So it's nice that we're thinking, okay, we're going to bank on EP40 coming back in style. That's great. But this is not the first time he's done this. And this love that we have for a player that scores 100 points, it's like a breakup thing. We don't want to break up with the player who scored 100 points, because we'll never get it back.
Honestly, that's like the worst argument for it, because to me, the only argument here is, are you moving on to something better? Because you can build the St. Louis Blues if you want, and that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, to me, Durzi doesn't fit here long term because you have to have cheap defensemen coming up as well.
100%, yeah.
So you have to flip him.
Coming up.
Yeah, so you got to flip him at some point. And you can make this move, but your ceiling's not, you're not raising your ceiling. And that's where I'm at overall with this team is, especially after trading away JT, like that lowered your ceiling.
Yes.
Now you're going to lower your ceiling again. Like you're cooked. I think if you're making that type of trade for Pettersson, it's over.
Yeah.
Like it's done. You kiss Quinn goodbye. I think it's just done. You just pack up shop. That's why I just think they're in an impossible spot. Like
100%.
And that's why I'm for trading Pettersson, but just not for this. Give me something. I'd rather do Dylan Cousins because at least he's 6'3 and he's a right-handed guy who had 31 goals. And if he can regain that, I'll roll the dice on that.
Yeah.
Because at least I know he can maybe be that guy, even if he doesn't become that player, right? And that's where I'm at. I think they need to find somebody that has a ceiling because right now this team is a mid-hockey team.
I'm just to give a shout out to my dad. He always tells me sometimes it's between bad and worse. between good and bad.
Well, I think that's.
Are we talking politics? Okay, never mind.
I think that's also a lesson about life. No, I think your dad, and this is something that I've learned as I get older too, is like you want to have perfection, right? But like,
yes.
Man, perfect is the enemy of good sometimes, you know, because you're pursuing this thing that you may never attain, and it's like you kind of get stuck. But the Canucks this year has been such a gut punch,
yes.
You know, and I've been as optimistic as anybody in trying to build around this team with the core they had. But now that JT's gone and Pettersson is what he is, you don't get high. You don't get somebody back that has a high ceiling, or Pettersson doesn't find his game. It's over, like it's done. Like pack up shop. It's over.
I'm old enough to remember in October when we were setting up the season or our preview shows, and I believe I had the Canucks as a wild card team.
Oh, people were mad at you,
and people were so mad.
Been a good couple of years for your predictions.
Yeah, so mad.
Yeah, they were mad.
And honestly, I just felt that they weren't going to, things weren't going to go as easily as they did as them last year. But this is far worse than anything I would have expected.
Yeah, I mean,
similar to like what Besser said to IMAC last week, it's like, nobody could have predicted this.
No, my whole thing about this year was I don't think they're going to get the same point totals. I don't think they're going to win the division. Maybe finish second or third in the division, but they're not winning the division.
Yeah.
They're not getting the same point totals. But can they be a better hockey team
mm-hmm.
come playoff time?
Yeah. And
and there's like nowhere near it. Nowhere near it.
They're getting worse, man. And I just don't know where this goes now, right? Because like the Hughes injury from the weekend is throwing an added wrinkle into this because it's like, oh, what are you really playing for? And hey, maybe it's not a long-term thing. Maybe it's, he can still play through it all, but he's clearly unable to play at the peaks he was playing at earlier this year. And the only way that this team gets by is with elite goaltending and Quinn Hughes playing at that absolute peak. You're the best defenseman in the National Hockey League, and that's the only way we can be a wild card playoff team. Otherwise, this team is up. It's up Bleeps Creek. So,
yeah, without a paddle too, you know, to finish the cliche. David Bernabe. I knew it was Riccio's fault. Stupid Nostradamus. Wasn't he Italian too, Dave and Bernabe?
Hey, I might be wrong. They might just miss out on the playoffs.
Was Nostradamus Italian?
Was he? I don't know.
Say it Italianly.
Nostradamus.
Oh, okay.
He was French astrologer.
Never mind.
Astrologer. The worst.
Trade deadline coverage on Sports at 6:50 brought to you by AJ's Pizza on East Broadway for diehard pizza people. Order online at AJ's.pizza. More coming next on Canuck Central.